Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 15. And we share together, Jeremiah is God has put that in his word. God used Jeremiah in a very large way. And Jeremiah was a young person who had to grow and develop. And God put him through the educational process by way of experience. You can't beat the college of hard knocks. It's a wonderful experience. That's how you learn, really. You can read a book, but when you live through things, you learn differently. Now, in the light of that, we're in the presence of God, and God, you've given us this book in the light of Israel, Israel's demise. It's going to go on, it's on its way now. Nebuchadnezzar, to destroy the city, ultimately. And in the process, Jeremiah has sought to reach and stimulate the people to awaken and repent, but they have no intention of doing so. And so therefore, it becomes a very difficult time, because you're trying to help somebody who doesn't want help, and you can't walk away from helping because God leaves you right there. So you have to keep the confrontation, the connection, and the confusion, conflict, and everything that goes with it. And so you have to hang in there, and that becomes difficult. You all also ought to remember that God is working with looking for humans. God created us all in his image and likeness. And God is looking to reach a human heart. In doing so, he reaches nations. He deals with nations, blocks of people, nations. He deals with blocks of people. But in the middle of the block, you never see the whole block getting saved. You see individuals within there being reached by God. So, here is Jeremiah dealing with the nation. The nation in general is not going to cooperate at all. They aren't going to do so. And so therefore, God, you're going to seek to warn and stimulate the heart, the head that would hear and heed thy word. All the rest of it is going to go by the boards and go down the road. And but you're looking to what? So A, to save individuals. Here we are in our country and going through, and God is seeking to reach individuals. He's not going to save the country. He's reaching to each individuals. In dealing with them, reaching individuals, he deals with the country. All over the world, every country of the world, China and Africa and the North Pole, God is doing what he's doing to reach individuals. Now, that's important because here you and I are, and we're looking out and we... excuse me. We bring the world in, in the world, and we're looking for God, looking for the world to work. At work, home, school, play. We're looking for the world to work for us. And we're looking for God to make the system work around us. When God is actually, and more so, you can count on it, he's working on the heart in the middle of the working. So, when we look at Job, here's all of the people in the days of Abraham and thereafter and thereabouts, and God is working singularly on a man, and he's quite happy to do so. God is going to work on Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, the rest of the system, apart from, isn't going to work. Remember Daniel, the first time Nebuchadnezzar comes in, is over in Babylon. Ezekiel, the second time Nebuchadnezzar comes in, he's over in Babylon. The only one that has to live in the mess all the way to the end, from start to finish, is Jeremiah. And that's quite different living in the middle of it. Daniel and Ezekiel are way over there in Babylon. But Jeremiah is smack in the middle of it. That's quite different. Quite different for a person. So God's dealing with Job. God's dealing with Jeremiah. God's dealing with you, if you let him. Now, hang on to that so we can put that a little bit together. And over in the process, in Jeremiah chapter 15, picking up there if I can, in Jeremiah chapter 15, as we've been going along, taking each piece a little bit, and we share together, the Lord, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me, visit me, revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. And we share together that, and will be the last, next to last little statement there in verse 15. Jeremiah says, please don't take me away till it's finished. And we shared last time together the way just to think of that. You're in the middle of a very sports game or some big event, and you're in the middle of it, and it's working its way out, it's working its way through, and to leave, you don't know how the thing, you're looking to see the finish. Who's going to win? How's it going to go? Jeremiah says, I want to finish the game. I've been this far in it, I want to finish it. So God, please don't take me out in the midst of what you're doing and while you're doing it. I want to finish. And we shared together last time in chapter 16, etc. God is going to honor that. God is going to leave him smack dab in the middle, all the way to the end. Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the city. God's going to raise up Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is going to be gracious to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is going to be treated royally, even though he doesn't go into Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar will do anything Jeremiah would like when it's all over. Jerusalem's leveled, and God will reach out to Jeremiah and say, now, what would you like? That God. So God, you're going to honor that. I am. Now, and in the light of that, chapter 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me joy and rejoicing in mine heart. And so we share together that. And God gives his word, and he honors his word, very much so. And the Jeremiah is the messenger, the message. Jeremiah is experiencing and being exercised by the message, the experience. And what he's and thus the everything is coming out of him, he is experiencing. He's experiencing the people, their rebellion, their indifference. He's experienced God's holiness and God's anger. He got, think of all of that going inside of you all at once. Wow. And that's what he's doing. God, you've made the man fit for what you're doing. He represents everything you're doing in a way that honors you. And thus the word is joy and rejoicing in his heart. And we share together in Ezekiel and in Revelation, we share together that John and Ezekiel were to eat the word, to devour it, as we share therein, thereby. And Ezekiel and John, the Apostle John, are going to take down. And here's John, Revelation chapter 10. And here's John told to eat the next portion of judgments. That means to get them down inside of you. You're going to go and understand. You're going to assimilate them, devour them. They're going to be part of your life. You're going to feel the whole thing, John. And thus he did. And God, the angel, told John that they're going to be this wonderful truth that God is working everything out. Everything's going to come out good. It's going to work. The most terrible circumstances are going to work out. Yay! How they work out. Ah, the sweetness of them working out. Now the bitterness of devouring the food and assimilate. How are they going to work out? Wonderful. God's going to help you. And then God starts to help you. And the reality of how he helps you. Ah, how sweet is that? You see. I want to grow. I want patience. I want to be humble. Now you got to go through it. It's wonderful. Thank God. Thank you, God. Now you got to learn it. Ah, that's bitter. But it has to be. That's reality. That's how it works. And we have to adjust. And we don't. We rebel against wanting to know those things. Even understand what we just tried to mumble. We don't want to understand that. It's too much for us. Wow. But we need to. And now and then, God finds man, a woman, boy, a girl, that will go through it and learn it. Now hang on to that, if you would. So, and the end of verse 16, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts, and Jeremiah cries out that I am called by thy name, and my heart has been ready to honor your word, etc., and I've honored it. And I'm going through a whole lot of exercise because of it. And by the way, God, I'm called by your name. I'm looking to your name and called by it. So God, and the word called to cry with a loud voice, to be named. And thus, God, I'm standing upon you, the little preposition, upon, over, resting on. Where are you resting, Jeremiah? I'm resting on God. I'm resting on God. O Lord God of hosts, I'm resting on your name, who you are. I'm trusting you. I am. I understand you have ownership of me. I declare freely, clearly, that I belong to you. I belong to you. There's no question, God, in my mind. I belong to you and I honor you. Now, and God, just like all you said elsewhere, turning there, you can do that if you want. You're right nearby. Over to Jeremiah chapter 7. And Jeremiah in chapter 7, picking up if I can. Oh, you'll see it in verse 14. Therefore, I will do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done in Shiloh, in verse 14, the house, the temple, is called by my name. It's my temple. I own it. You want to know who that house belongs to? It belongs to me. That's my house. You're trying to make it your house, but it is my house. Jeremiah, what are you saying? God is my God, and I am called by his name. One other place, hold your finger in Jeremiah 15, and go with me to Isaiah, easy to see, and get the flavor of it. Isaiah chapter 43. And you will pick up the phrase, chapter 43, picking up, please, in verse 7. 43 and 7. Everyone that is called, there's your little verb, called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So I have made them, and I've made them for my honor and glory, and Jeremiah recognizes that he belongs to God. He does. And so he says, "If the whole thing, God, there's no question about who owns me. My identification is with you. And so, God, the starting and beginning point, the starting point in my life is you. The ending point in my life is you. Everything in the middle is you. So, God, it's all about you and me." Hang on now. Chapter 15 of Jeremiah. And in chapter 15, may I go to verse 17. Now, remember now, we try to build, because he's telling you how it worked out for him. He was very much bothered by what was happening, Israel's terrible unbelief. He is encouraged by looking to God and reminding himself that God knows and God remembers and God cares and God's going to make things right. And he's encouraged by it. He's encouraged that he has God's word, and it's a joy and everything to him. All of that is wonderful. But, verse 17, "I sat not in the assembly of mockers, nor rejoiced." Now, the word to sit in the assembly of mockers is the merrymakers, if you want to say it that way. People that laugh and have fun. I sat in the world. I was in their city. I sat in their court, in their town square where everyone sits and has all their social things. I sat not. I didn't sit. I sat. I was in the middle of it, but I wasn't part of it, where they were all happy, merrymaking, laughing, having fun, and doing all of that. And that's what they did. They did that there. Now, and judgment is delivered. It's being delivered, and God, they just aren't there, and they don't seem to care, they don't seem to pay attention, and therefore the battle, and now Jeremiah, now you got to remember Jeremiah is looking at this crowd that don't care and doesn't seem to anticipate the great storm that's coming and the trouble that is headed their way. They don't see it, but Jeremiah does. And they just don't, they aren't even moved by it. And they should be. Now, so, Jeremiah, let me get your heart in this. Think of being, if you could, in a battlefield, if that is, it's Pearl Harbor Day. It is. So think of being in the battlefield, if you would, if you can imagine that, or some dangerous place, in the battlefield, and you're out there in the trenches, doing what you have to do, the enemy's firing away, and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and there they are going. Wow, think of Mosul over there, where they're going back and forth shooting. And here they are shooting back and forth, and you're there, your ammunition's there, your ammunition and everything, and you're there, and it isn't a recreational place, it's a battlefield. Now, and when you're there like that, and it's going, and the heat of the battle goes and goes and goes, people are shooting and being shot, and all the things are happening in the middle of midst of it. It's a very difficult time, and you're there. Now, in the process of all of that, in the process of being on the front lines, in the midst of the battle, and here's all the stuff going on, and it doesn't seem to stop. The merrymaking, the fun, they don't understand what's going on. And you're in the midst of that. And so you sit in the back to your trenches. You're in the trenches. And you'd just like to know, where's the general? What are they doing at headquarters? That they understand, think of all the wars where people have been stuck in trenches and everything else. Waiting, waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and running short of food, water, and ammunition. Wow. And you're waiting. Does the headquarters know what's going on? Does anyone know? And it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. God, why can't we have someone, general, come forward and lead us into some change, victory, to fix things here? And the general doesn't seem to be there. And so it's very hard in your life. You have all kinds of things. Personally, here's Jeremiah in a whole Judah nation. And here you are, little individual, like us. We're just little. And we're in the middle. We have our little worlds, and our worlds that get very complicated. Sometimes they get very stressful and distressful, and we're there and we're trying to work those worlds out. Actually, that's really our little world, isn't it? Trying to work out marriage and job and health and problems and everything. You're trying to work them out, and you hope that they get better. And they just go, and you cry out to God, God. But then it keeps going. And God, and he doesn't seem to show up. Where's the general? Where, God, I don't mind being, I just need, where are you? Hang on to that. That's where Jeremiah is. And Jeremiah has to go through something. And you and I, if we're going to grow and develop properly, you have to be exercised in your situations, in your world. Whether you're 10 years old or 110 years old, you have to go through it. And that's where you learn to win. That's why it's all down so you can get the principles and the problem so you don't think it's some strange thing that's happened to you. I have to go through this. Why? Where is God? And you look around you and the people of the world, do they care about where God is? Anyone care where God is? They aren't even looking for God. They don't even think there's a God. And so you get, we'll say, boy, and then you're still there, and they're still there, just like Jeremiah, making merry, mockers. So now, verse 17, I set not, and he's looking for someone to help, he's all alone. Why, verse 17, I set not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced, I sat all alone. And we just did that in Sunday school and that, alone. That's how God saves you. That's how God helps you. And you can't bring anyone else with you. You can't have any other connections. When you come to God and know Him as your Savior, you leave every man, woman, boy, or girl, every experience you've had, everything you're going to have. You come to God all by your lonesome, and you can't start say, well, God, I'm coming with this. I'm coming with my wife. I'm coming with my children. You can't do that. You'll never get saved that way. You get saved all by your lonesome. If the Lord were to take to come now, and here's your world, work, home, school that you're with, and make believe you can be in a situation that's alive with all those people. And if the Lord came right then, and you're in the middle, you're having dinner bought for you. How's that? Someone's buying the best dinner in the world for you, and you're about, it's just the plate just got put down. You can imagine that plate got put down. You're ready to, wow. And the Lord took you just like that. Can you talk? Can you say, well, what about the nice waitress? What about the person on the other side of the table? Are you going to think that? Are you even going to be involved in that? Not a drop. You're all alone. You're all alone. And I need to understand that, because that's how God saves us. He saves us out of this whole Adamic system we're in and saves us for himself. I need to understand that. And so Jeremiah, you're all alone. You're all alone because of thy hand. God's hand is upon him, and he's all alone and standing there, as it were, looking at everything. They're all excited, and taking pleasure in what they do, and they aren't concerned at all. And Jeremiah, here you are. Now, in the light of being alone, just for the sake of taking a second to grab that a little better, over to Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. And we're looking at alone. And Jeremiah is there, understandably, and I'm sure you have to, you've been there if you're saved, that in the midst of something, God isn't an ever-present help to you. You can't find him. You aren't even looking to him. Wow. So here's Jeremiah, and here he is. Now God, 100 years before Jeremiah, way back, what did you say, Isaiah? Well, Jeremiah, here's Isaiah saying it earlier. Isaiah 49, picking up, please, in verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yet they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and the walls are continually before me. Always there. God, so when God looks at his hand, he sees Israel. When God looks at Jerusalem, he sees Israel. God, do you ever forget? I never do. You do. God, when we see your hands, and we will, the whole world will actually see his hands when he comes. They're going to see the nail print in his hands and say, I didn't forget. You did. You did. I didn't forget. Jeremiah, where is the general? You forgot. No, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Over, if you would. John, the Gospel of John. And picking up, if I can, in verse 15, I think. And you'll see it. Chapter 15. Chapter 16, better. Chapter 16. Chapter 16, and in verse 32, directly in the upper room before his crucifixion. Behold, verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now it is now come. It's right now. That ye shall be scattered, because he's going to be trial and crucifixion, every man to his own. Boy, no one's around now. Nope, they're all going to go disappear. To make every man to his own. And shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. The Father's always with me. See? So I'm never alone. I'm going to be alone for 3 hours on the cross. I'm going to be alone. But that's the only time. And that's because I'm bearing your sin. Sin separates from God. Death. That's why I'm dying. Otherwise, I'm never alone. So God, Jeremiah, God said, I don't forget. You're never alone. But it looks like we're alone. How come it's so long? Why hasn't things changed? And we have all the questions and wonder and don't understand. But we have to go through that and work through it where we're fixing it and learning from it. Now, over, if you would, please, in your Bible, back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah and chapter 17. 15. I move fast, but not that fast. Chapter 15. And in verse 17. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone, because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Here I am, I'm filled with indignation. And the word indignation is judicial anger, wrath, to be excited, to perform judgment, punishment. God, I'm right in the middle of it. Verse 17. For thou for thou hast filled me. So what we just shared that earlier. He's looking at people that are laughing and having don't care about anything, and here he is middle, overly concerned because God is there doing with his heart, but there's a big gulf between the people and him, and they don't seem to catch on at all of the crisis. It's like crying out as the car goes down the highway, and you try to wave and tell the car stop, and it keeps right on going, and the road is out, and it goes off the road, and an accident. They just didn't listen. They were busy on their phone, and they just didn't listen. They should have, but they didn't pay attention. But boy, did you ever, you didn't start laughing. No, because they're still going down the road. They're going to crash. There's no time to laugh now. And thus, Jeremiah, here you are. You're all filled with indignation. And you have to understand that. So, and keeping that in mind, and remember now, God is dealing with Jeremiah in a most wonderful way. And in the process of dealing with Jeremiah, he's helping Jeremiah what? Well, you have to work around and about and overcome your feelings. Feelings, F-E-E-L-I-N-G-S, feelings, your emotions. You get all caught up, and if you get past that, put them down. Remember, your emotions, your feeling, your anxiety, worry, all those things are because of how you think. Think right and you'll feel right. Don't try to feel right to think right. Did that come out right for you? Don't try to feel good so you can think good. Think good and you will feel good. Don't put them in reverse. And therefore, here's Jeremiah. And he's there with the indignation is there for him, and he's facing it. So therefore, he has to learn. You learn what? You can't go by your feelings. You're looking and trying to react with people, persons, places, and when you do, you louse up everything. It doesn't come out good for you. No matter how you want to look at it, in the light of heaven, it didn't work. It didn't work. So now, having said that, if you would, over in chapter 15, verse 18. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable? Now here he is, he's going through the exercise and to get the education so he can learn to what? Learn to walk with God. How is a person going to walk with God on a daily basis when on your daily basis life is not like this, a line. It isn't even. Life is up and down, easy, hard. One day you feel good, the next day you feel bad. One day everything goes good at work or school, the next day it goes lousy. One day you're very peaceful with people, and the next day you're terrible with people. And you're up and down all over the place. And God, that's where we are. We got to learn to fix this. Jeremiah, that's what you're learning, isn't it? To walk with God on a daily basis. Now, that's how you learn to go through the thick. And Paul would say it in Philippians 4, I learned how to go down low and how to go up high. I had to go through the exercise to learn. It doesn't come cheap. You want to have a doctorate degree that comes from heaven, you're going to have to go through them. You don't get it for free. You have to go through it. And God looks for men, women, boys and girls he can work with. That's what he's looking for. So, but, no, I want to see if I can find somebody. Wow. Now, so, here's Jeremiah. Why is my pain perpetual? And it's a question, rhetorical kind of thing. I know why it is, but I'm going to say it. In the light of that, I'm yielding to the flesh. I'm looking at myself. I'm looking at everything else. And I'm looking at God's judgment. I'm looking at the people. I'm looking at their indifference. And I'm really concerned. And it bothers me. It bothers me. And thus, how, boy, can it bother you. You can go way down. Watch building to this. Building up to this verse. Go to chapter 12. In chapter 12, you would recall Jeremiah is busy, 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 concerned, and he's being educated. And so he's going to say in verse 1, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore, why doth the way of the wicked prosper?" Why are the wicked so prosperous, having so much fun? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? You can be a bad guy, and the bad guys have the most fun. Sliding down to verse 4. "How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not, N-O-T, see our last end." God has no way to bring this to a conclusion. We're going to be all able to be, have everything we want as the way we want it, and when it comes to an end, God is going to be absent. He don't care how it ends. He can't do anything about how it ends. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Chapter 15. Verse 18, "Why is my pain perpetual," etc. Amidst the inevitable judgment, no way to get rid of it, no way to stop it, nope. And which refuses to be healed. God healed, we can't do all of that now, but remember now, you'll see it. If you can, over in Jeremiah chapter 17, you'll pick it up if I can. In chapter 17, verse 9, you'll see, you know it. Chapter 17, verse 9, Jeremiah. "The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." You see the word, verb, desperately wicked? That's the same one. It's incurable. It's desperately wicked. God, the thing isn't going away. Where's the general? We're in the trenches. And another day goes by, another week goes by, another month goes by. God, when? Now, back over to chapter 15. It refuses to be healed. It doesn't want to get healed. It's unwilling to be. Wow. That's getting down pretty far. I mean, I got to tell you, he's telling God, this thing is incurable. My situation in the trenches, as it were, using illustration, in the middle of it all, is unfixable. They're doing what they're doing out there, and I can't change. I'm carrying this burden, rightfully so, about what you're going to do, and we're trying to help the people. The people don't want help, and God, it isn't going away. And boy, it's, I don't know what to do. Another day, another, they're yelling and mocking and merrymaking, and they're trying to kill me and put me in prison, among other things. Wow. Thus the statement, verse 18. "Wilt thou be altogether unto me a liar, and as waters that fail?" God, are you going to be to me? Are you going to be to me as a liar, altogether? It's intensive. Are you altogether, intensive, certainty, with great certainty, your being to me, just think of it, strong, it's strong, certain. Your being to me intensely, a liar. Are you being to me a liar? Can you see that? That's what he's saying. Now, what's wonderful about it is, he has a wonderful sense of God. The average person gets mad and sad and has no sense of God. Jeremiah is very conscious of God. Remember Jonah Jonah, and Jonah went, and Jonah was so angered that God was going to be gracious for 150 years to Nineveh. He went and sat down and got so disturbed that stop this, fix this. You can't, by that I mean don't judge them. Nineveh, the bad guys, you're going to let them go. Uh-huh, I am, for over a century. Wow. So here's Jeremiah, like Jonah, and he's all upset. He said, thou art altogether unto me as a liar. The word liar, the word liar has to do with a drought, a drying up, a failing of water. Water fails. Water brooks dry up. They dry up. God, here I am. And God, you've been to me a liar, a dried up. I look to you for need and resupply, and I don't have any. I'm all dried up. I have nothing to give out. I have to give it out, but I'm all dried up. I have nothing, no vitalness to me. Wow, I have to go through this. You do. But Jeremiah, you're having to learn it, in college of hard knocks. That's how you're going to learn it. Now, God, are you going to water? Do you dry up? You don't dry up, God. There's no way you dry up. You don't do that. On the contrary, over to Jeremiah chapter 2. And you'll know in verse 13, for my people have, remember, 2 and 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. There's your word, waters, liar, living waters. And hewed them out, cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. There's your word again. No water. God, you're no water. We're all dried up. God, I'm all dried up. Aha. All dried up. Wow. Over to Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah in chapter 14. Picking up, please, in verse 3. Now, remember in the drought when we did that, in chapter 14, but picking up the thought again. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters there. They came to the pits and found no water. There's your word. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads because they were unable to find water. They were unable to bring water back. Chapter 17. And in chapter 17, picking up, if I can, in verse 8, God, hang on to the thought a sec. Now, when you're trying to give out, if you're trying to go and help, a little illustration for good, it may not be good one. I was thinking of a fireman's trying to put out the fire. Big fire, and the water's there. Now, as the water's there, the fireman is encouraged to try to put out the fire. But if there's no water coming out of the hose, and the fire is growing, wow, is that frustrating? When you go and you try to live trusting God for the outworking of His goodwill in your life, and you drain everything you got inside of you of encouragement and joy and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving went out the window, and you're there trying to be faithful. We have people like that. They aren't going to make it, actually. They could, but they won't. But you're trying to do it in your own strength, and it ain't going to work because you get dried up and you got nothing to give out. You're trying to be faithful and sing Amazing Grace, and it isn't in your heart to sing it. You're trying to hear Jeremiah, but it isn't in your heart to receive it. Because you're dried out. You aren't absorbing, receiving, and having a fullness of God's grace so that you never run out. Do you remember when God said, I gotta quit. Do you remember when God said, you don't worry, it's a sin to worry, Philippians 4:6. Don't worry, it's a sin. Sin. Now, but if things get more than you can handle, a little worry's all right. Do you remember him saying that? You can have a little worry, but you have to use up everything, and then worry's all right. Do you remember him saying that? He never said that, because it's never used up. God's grace. Worry is worry anytime. So God, we end up getting dry, don't we? We lose the freshness. We lose the fullness. We lose it. And then we get each other and everything, picking on each other and everything. Whoa. No wonder we don't get anywhere. You can't do that. You've got to have freshness. And it isn't whether the other guy has freshness. Do you have it? Do I have it? That's where it needs to. I'm the one that has to. I'm responsible for this guy. And you're responsible for you guys. And we're responsible. What can I tell you? And so God, here we are. And we get all drained and dried out in every way. Wow, I'm not getting very far, but one thing in closing then. Over if you go to Psalm. To make it personal, Jeremiah is looking at it, it's personal to him, but he's got a big problem with the whole nation of Judah and Jerusalem. But you and I don't have that. So here we are. And Psalm 42. Do you see in verse 1, as the hart, the little deer, panteth after the water brooks. Do you see the word water brooks? That's what you got over in verse 18. The water dries up. The brook's gone. The brook water fails. What is the heart supposed to do? Well, Jeremiah, it's supposed to what? And he gets it. He gets it. He's going to get it. There's no question. We would have read it in Jeremiah 17, but we didn't in the process. God, he's going to put us by the water, a tree by the water, planted by the waters, and the drought and the famine and the fire. It doesn't matter. The tree's green all the time. It doesn't run out. God, do you ever run out? Never. Then where's the problem? It's with us, God. And thus Psalm 42, the heart panteth after the water brooks. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. I'm looking to you, God. Now that's what Jeremiah is going to do, but he has to drop down and get spanked and go through the heartache of that terrible, depressive kind of thinking. And thus, verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And you slide down day and night. The people are saying, my fears have been my meat, food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And he goes into the sanctuary, verse 4, and into the sanctuary is where he finds God. That's where God is supposed to be there. And God is. And thus, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? What am I? And then you give yourself a good talking to. I hope you learn to do that. You need to do that. I do. I used to do it more so. Now I just quit because it's useless. I'm just what can I say, God? I'm a sort of hopeless case. But God, here we are. And we're looking to you. And we give ourselves a good talking to you, dummy. Don't you ever say that to yourself? You dummy, you stoop. What'd you do that for? What'd you say that for? Didn't you ever do that? Well, you guys don't have any fun at all. I mean, wow. And it helps. Being no one else will say it to you, so you say it to yourself. And that thus God, that and the end, verse 11, verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, just like Jeremiah with all vindicate. He tries to do the right thing. And they think, and they having laughing merriment time and mocking him in the process. Reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Not where is your church, or where is that? Where's your God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So God, why are we going to get discouraged and depleted? I have no right to. We have no right to be disquieted, divided up in our mind all over the place. We have no right to do that. Jeremiah says, I'm called by thy name. The Lord, you are my personal Savior. Then therefore, God, let's exercise it. And God, you are, when I look to you, God, then I'm going to find that you aren't worried and you aren't less. You didn't change a bit. You didn't change. You're still there. You never fail. You never falter. You don't want me to fail. But you allow me to go through everything? That's right. There'll be no temptation, testing, taking you, but such as what? Common to man. So what are you worried about? If I let it happen, you ought to be glad I let it happen. Now work through it. If I didn't want it to happen, I wouldn't have it. How come you let that happen in my life? Wow. And God, you let it happen. And that's how we learn. So Jeremiah, thank you very much. Thank you very much for just reminding us, God, Jeremiah, thank you very much for reminding us that in the midst of it all, we're going to have, if we're going to go, that life is not going to treat us with a big bowl of cherries or something. We're going to have terrible times in our lives, up and down all as we go along, and every day isn't going to be super duper, and our country and all of that, thank God for all that we have. But don't, as we shared last night, don't get, understand, we used to be up here, not only in this assembly, we used to have a whole other standards of things, with families and loved ones, children being at home and everything, coming to church, you know. We used to, all those things, we had them. But we sort of gave up on them. It's so downhill. We're just glad for a remnant trying to learn. That's all. Too hard for the other. They couldn't take it. We just have to be glad if a little person in the midst of the whatever will hang in there. God help us. But here's our country back here. We had none. Think of all those things we shared the other day. All those things that never used to be in anything. Never heard of the sickness, never heard of problems with food or anything. It just didn't exist. Now, when they came into being, we lowered it, and all of a sudden they came into being more and more and more. Now we're down here. So we get a little revival, and we go up here. But up here is never back to this. Do you understand? You don't go back to this. So the little blip we have in our country, thank God for it. But it isn't this. And it can't sustain itself. Thank God we get a little bit for a little while. That's all. Anyway, I didn't mean to go so long. I hope we get a little bit. There's such wonderful things. And you need to claim them, possess them, and exercise them. Don't forget Dorcas tomorrow.